We are now joined by Representative Christy Purcell of District 58A. Good morning, Representative Purcell. How you doing?
Good morning, Rich. I'm a little low energy. I think it's a combination of the weather.
Yeah.
And we're just on the precipice of a week-long break.
Are you?
So yeah. Ready for some recharge.
You're ready. You're there. You're just,
almost
you need all
there.
That. Yeah.
There.
Is it one more week and then you go on break? Or
No. So noon today is third deadline.
Okay, yeah.
So this is the point at which finance bills need to be through their committees.
Okay.
And that has been moderately successful, I think, in most places. So talks are kind of happening at a higher level with the Speaker of the Minnesota House, the Speaker Emerita of the Minnesota House, the governor, the leaders in the Senate. But, for example, one of my committees, we did not pass our finance bill. So what we did pass is basically what we call a vehicle bill that will eventually have a delete everything amendment on top of it.
Okay.
And will be the bill.
Okay.
But it's not ready yet.
Oh.
So we met last evening after floor to just pass kind of a blank.
Yeah.
a blank bill. That so that's not exactly of meeting the deadline.
Yeah.
And then the co-chairs will, I guess, have to work on that over their spring break.
Oh.
Including a former Northfielder, Representative Robert Bierman.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's a rep, I think, Apple Valley is his, where he lives now and where he represents. So he is the DFL co-chair of that committee. And so I think probably his spring break looks a little different than, and that's not the, that's not the only committee that is the case for.
I'm sure.
And then yesterday we had our final environment committee hearing where that final like version of the bill was heard and the staff walked through, and it's what gets called a lights on bill, which is like just basic continuing funding, although we did have to cut $10 million from the biennium. So it's a pretty quick walkthrough, or is just like, here's where we cut $5 million, here's where we cut $3 million, here's where we cut $2 million. Any questions? And so that committee is kind of, you know, like done for the year. But then we walked out of committee and there are all these cameras and like the bright lights, and I was like, no one ever cares as much about the environment.
Right.
But then they were all angled the opposite side of the hallway.
Oh.
And apparently the room across the hall is where the governor's, I don't know if the governor, but the governor's people and the leadership from the Senate and the House were discussing sort of the progress towards making our May 19th end of session deadline.
Yeah.
And so they had a press conference. So we got done. I just came out and was like, oh, I wonder what's going on. So I I stood and listened in a little bit.
Okay. And what were your thoughts?
Well, I think I missed the bulk of it. I just I came in for the last few minutes where it was Speaker Emerita Hortman and Senate Majority Leader Erin Murphy.
Yep.
And they were fielding just whatever random questions from the press. Okay. So I kind of missed the...
Right.
Like, wait, what is going on with that? But I guess listening to this fine radio station, hearing Speaker Lisa Daymuth saying she's pleased with the way talks are progressing and hoping to get out on time.
Yeah.
That's great to hear.
That is great to hear. It's quite surprising, at least from where I sit. It's quite surprising.
I mean, we won't know until
it's
the final moments. But
right.
And I was just remembering, so we'll have all of next week off where we don't have to go to the Capitol, trying to take it really fully all the way off. And then it's 5 weeks after that to May 19th, the end of the session. And those are going to be the long nights.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't had late nights just yet. Partially because of the split nature of the house.
Yeah.
Hopefully most things are coming. The work is really being done in committees, and for it to advance out of a committee, that was not true for the first month. When there was not a tie, the DFL was down a seat. And it was interesting, on the floor last night, we finished our business, and then the Republican leader, Harry Nisca, moved to take a bill from the table. So they, when they didn't pass any of their stuff, because they didn't have a majority of votes, they just laid all the bills on the table. Mm-hmm. Well, one of our, in the updated power sharing agreement, one of the rules is you can only remove something from the table if you have 68 votes. Mm-hmm. So that move last night was a little bit of a head scratcher. We were like, are they trying to not, like, to have, like, one of us accidentally hit the wrong button? Or,
right.
Like, it was just like, you still don't have 68 on your side? But even if, like, someone was off the floor and, like, didn't vote, it's not like they would be voting for the... Anyway, it was very interesting of, like, this is what we're trying to avoid with power sharing agreements, so it seems a little potentially sketchy that they're, like, trying to make moves. I don't know. I do not know what that intention was behind that, but they did not have the votes to take a bill from the table.
Interesting. But yeah, he tried to do it anyway.
Yep.
Okay.
So I don't... Yeah. So we'll see what that sort of portends for the rest of session.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you have anything that any of the bills that you've introduced, anything that looks like it's going to has hit all the deadlines and we'll get into some kind of omnibus bill or something?
I mean, there's still so much process and negotiation to go.
Yeah.
So, for example, like, none of my bills in the Environment Committee, because that's a lights on only bill.
Yeah.
Now, if those bills passed and are in the Senate version of the final bill, then when we go into
conference
negotiations with conference committee, so that's members from both chambers, maybe some of my provisions are in there. I don't know that that's true. I doubt it, I guess, in the Environment Committee. And then in the Health Committee earlier this week, I presented a bill. So a statistic I learned is that it's like 60% of babies born, I don't know, maybe in Minnesota, have jaundice. And it's like 80% of babies who are born early.
Mm-hmm.
And then only like 2-4% of those are like a very serious case of jaundice.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that you need these bilirubin lights.
Mm.
So it's like a Billy blanket is like these blue lights that are on a flexible, you know, blanket type thing. And so if your baby is jaundiced and you have to go back to the hospital, first of all, you're like trying to bond with your baby. Maybe you're trying to breastfeed. Like, you don't really want to go back to a hospital and just the trauma plus the cost.
Yeah.
Plus, if you're in Greater Minnesota, the driving. Yeah. I mean, there's just so many things. And so I got to present a bill Monday that is, I guess, not going to make it into our bill. Again, our health bill is a little mysterious still.
Oh.
But it sounds like it's coming in the Senate version. So I got to present the bill, like, kind of as informational. It's widely bipartisan. It saves the state money, which is to increase the reimbursement for those Billy blankets to be able to go home with families. And then the families don't have to come into the hospital. And then when you're done with them, the course of treatment is usually like 2 to 6 days or something. Huh. You drop it in a bag and you mail it back.
Okay.
So
then they can be reused as
well. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So all it's right. like a piece of medical equipment and it can be sent home with families. Mm-hmm. So I guess that, you know, got the hearing in time in the Senate. Hopefully that will be in at least their version of the bill. I don't know if it will be in ours. So it's something, you know, kind of small.
Yeah. Sounds very practical, though, and useful. Yeah. I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't be a good thing to have.
I mean, the amount of money it could save is, you know, in the millions of, like, wow, just keeping these families from not having to come all the way in the hospital, you know, right, $10,000 sort of in total. And making sure that we're treating jaundice, like, yeah, 'cause there can be really long-term health, mm-hmm, impacts. And so if that's a barrier for people to even like, oh, I don't want to go to the hospital. Or,
right. I was going to say, for them to be able to do it at home, yes, and then just have to pop it back in the mail. Yeah. I mean, how convenient, and it can, yeah, have really long-term positive health effects if, mm-hmm, done appropriately. So,
yes. Yeah. So hopefully, you know, those, yeah, those are the kind of levels of wins we're looking for, because it is,
right,
yeah, good. And I mean, from a public perspective, I just feel like that has great optics, you know, because people are looking at that and being like, yeah, let's do that. You
know? And in order to save that money, though, we have to increase our reimbursement, mm-hmm, for these hospitals to like buy that equipment,
right. Sure.
So the Medicare, mm-hmm, reimbursement rates like don't cover the actual cost, so the state has to chip in the rest of that money to do it.
Sure.
But then it's that, like, the long-term pay is okay. Yep. Probably some of these this equipment is going to wear out more because it's, mm-hmm, being trekked around and sent around the state.
Sure.
And you know, it's this upfront cost, but the, mm-hmm, idea is then it literally would save potentially millions of dollars,
yeah,
sort of long term. So it's that upfront cost versus the long term savings.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. So, you know, it's something like that. And then the bonding bill usually gets left to last because, yeah, we do need the supermajority to pass it. So I have, I was able to present two of my bills that I've introduced that are for bonding. One is for housing in Bridgewater Township and that kind of unique housing development, which is like kind of self-sustaining, mm-hmm, which could be a model for rural housing options across the state. And then a police station.
New Prague.
Upgrade in New Prague.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which they are in desperate need of. So. Yeah. So, yeah. So we'll see how that goes. They have different deadlines, the bonding committee. Like, they don't have to go by this deadline. I think they get their, like, fiscal target, mm-hmm, of, you know, you can bond for this many dollars. But they don't, I haven't seen a, like, here's what we're proposing. Here's sort of what's made the cut.
Right. Right. It's got to be tricky times up there right now. I mean, you don't know exactly what's going to work and what's not. And it's.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is just sort of new territory because of the tie in the House especially.
Yeah.
So it's just new. And like in the Rules Committee, we had to approve some updated power sharing agreement. Mm-hmm. And like one of the things was, which of course I didn't think about, but there's really smart people who've been there for a long time. When we would have conference committee, the House would appoint, I guess, like often 3 or 5 members, mm-hmm, to conference with Senate members. Mm-hmm. Well, when you have a tie,
yeah,
to have an odd number, that doesn't work. And so we had to update the rules of the House to say 6 members or, yeah, 4 members.
Right.
Because then it's equal representation with both sides. So just it's little things like that, that it's a little bit uncharted,
yeah,
territory.
Yeah. Well, no one's had to deal with this since 1978.
Uh-huh.
So,
and
yeah,
even then it didn't go very well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, someone had a heart attack on the House floor, and then there was, oh, like a play for power because he couldn't be there.
Right.
You know, not that we didn't have some of those dynamics at the beginning of session.
Oh, you absolutely did.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, but I think I was just remembering, we say, like, there's Hell Week, like, basically when we get back.
Yep.
But then I was like, oh, no, it's just the last 5 weeks,
right,
of session.
Right. It's Hell
could
month.
Be called that. Yes. Yeah. So that's why trying to, like, take a beat,
yeah,
over the next week. So I will not be on with you next week Friday.
Yep.
Fully taking that time off, and then You know, then I just have to plan to be in St. Paul, including on Fridays. So there will probably be some calling in because we just have to be on the floor or at least near the floor if negotiations are happening. And but it's been so great to be able to come in person. And I always love being in district and at home.
Well, we greatly appreciate all the work that you put in, and especially those long hours coming up. And we hope that you have a very restful week.
Yeah, just
well deserved.
Thank you.
Shut it down. Just go to bed and turn off the lights and don't answer your phone.
Well, and I'm like my my assistant, my legislative assistant, has to work next week.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just say no to as much as you can, or you know, just like postpone the.
Yeah.
Because nothing is urgent. Literally, nothing is happening at the house. Like,
right.
The leadership is on vacations too, so hopefully it is really truly a break and a reset, and then we can come back and try to finish the job, finish our work.
There
awesome
you go.
All right, well, Representative Christy Purcell, we thank you as always, and we will look forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks.
That sounds great. Thank you.